Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God, everybody say, but God. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and the things which are despised had God chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Look at verse 13. But of him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom. God has made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Say amen. So, if you look at the physical realm, sometimes you don't feel that God has called you. But God hasn't created any useless person. Everybody was created by God for a purpose. Say amen. And so you see your calling that he is not only choosing the wise, he is not only choosing the mighty, he is not only choosing the noble, he is not only choosing the people who are self-made, but he's also choosing the despised, he's also choosing the weak, he's also calling the things which are not to make mighty the things that are, so that one day you will not stand somewhere and say that it is because of the way you are. That is why God chose you. Say amen. And then it is also important for you to realize that even though you may not feel called by God, you are still called by God. Because the people who were called didn't feel called. They didn't even know that they can even do anything for God. When God chose Abraham, he was a pagan in his father's house. When God chose Gideon, he said, my tribe is the tribe of Manasseh, and my father's house is the least of the house. So if God is looking for a deliverer to deliver the Israelites from the hands of the Midianites, I'm not qualified to deliver them. But God chose him. God chose him. He said, you are a mighty man of valor. The guy didn't feel it, but God chose him to deliver the Israelites from the hands of the Midianites. When God chose Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4, he said something very funny there. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4. Look at it again. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before, say before, before I formed thee in thy belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto him, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, over kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Say amen. So God has chosen you for a purpose, and he will hasten his word to perform that which he has purposed to do in your life. Say, I receive it. So God also chose Moses, who was speech impaired at the age of 80. How can you start working for God at the age of 80? Moses is our perfect example. The Lord chose Ezekiel, chose Joseph, chose the disciples who were unlearned men, never been to Bible school, never been to any form of any school at all. And yet God chose them to transform the world. Say amen. Today we have epistles, we are reading, we have examples because of these disciples who were just mere fishermen, but God chose them. God chose Deborah, God chose Abigail, God chose Mary Magdalene, God chose Elizabeth. So everybody here can be chosen by God or has been chosen by God for a reason. And do not allow anybody to look down upon your calling. Am I teaching here? You should not allow anybody to intimidate you because you cannot speak good grammar. Because of your educational background. Nobody should tell you that, well, when they are looking for people to work for God, you too have also assembled yourself. No. No matter your physical handicap, God has also chosen you. Even if you are singing in the choir and they cannot find your note on the keyboard, just continue to sing because your voice was also mixed up with other voices and it will also whatever. Yeah. Your voice will also mix up with other voices. Because there are some people whose voices we can't find the note on the keyboard. Like you. Francis said they can't find his keyboard. That is why Francis doesn't sing at all. I've never heard Pastor Francis sing, but he's our deputy president pastor. He doesn't sing because he can't find his key. But God has also chosen him. God has also chosen him. And last week he was preaching very powerfully. He has also been chosen by God. So nobody should intimidate you and make you feel that God hasn't chosen you. God has chosen you. Lift your right hand and say, God has chosen me. Say amen. Sometimes you may be very heavy, but God has also chosen you. Enjoy your weight in the core. Yes. Yes. Sometimes you can be very, very skinny, but God has also chosen you. Sometimes you can be very short, a picky tipper, but be the Rainbow Temple Quaro, there's a small girl be. That starts here. God has also chosen her. She's very small and very tiny. I don't know whether she's in school or whatever, but I don't know, JSS, SSS, I don't know where she goes to school. But she also has a voice. She has also joined the temple choir and she's also singing. And nobody can look down upon her. You see your calling that not many wise, not many mighty are called, but God has also chosen the despised, the weak, the base, and people who don't feel called as part of the people that God has chosen. You don't feel called. When they call Moses, Moses said, I cannot, when I go, what should I tell them? Sometimes the calling overwhelms you. But God has called you. And when, you see, and this is what is very amazing. He told Jeremiah, when you were a clot of blood in your mother's womb, when there was a fetus and there was a small heartbeat, I chose you and I sanctified you. So you were not chosen because you went to the university. You were chosen when you were a clot of blood in the womb of your mother. The day you were born, God's hand was upon you. Why do you think God has kept you alive until today? There is a reason why you are still alive. There is a reason why you are alive. And the saddest thing is that you will look at your handicap, your shortcomings, your weaknesses, and deny yourself of the call of God. It doesn't matter how weak you are. It doesn't matter how many times you have failed. God still has chosen you. There are people who have failed, still. They made it in life. They fail, sir. They fail everything. There is a woman, I don't know whether we can get her picture. She's called Helen Keller. Helen Keller. Helen Keller is deaf. She's deaf and she's blind. And she's also she's deaf, dumb. Or they say we shouldn't say dumb. Speech impaired, whatever. She's handicapped. She can't see. She can't hear. She can't. So many things about Helen Keller. Meanwhile, she composed one of the most greatest songs ever in the history of mankind. Some of you don't know that some of the worship songs that we sing, they were composed by Helen Keller. How can you be blind and compose songs? Say amen. Yeah. There are people who are, there's a guy in Australia. This guy has no arms. She has no arms. She has no legs. She's short. They have to put her on the table before she can speak. What's the name, Paul? Some Vodge, something. She has no hands. That's Helen Keller. She's blind. She has about 4 disabilities. But you don't know that most of the beautiful worship songs were composed by Helen Keller. She's also chosen by God. So chosen by God. Put her handicap on the. I want you to know what this woman, and then put some of the songs she has composed. But you who can see, can walk, can talk, you have composed nothing. So everybody has been called for something, and that is why nobody has any right to look down upon anybody in the ministry, because if you can do something better, I also have my own area that I can also do. So I don't see why you should intimidate me with your gifts. You are gifted. I'm also so gifted. Say amen. And the calling, you know, is not only to the ministry. You are also called as a doctor. you are also called as a politician. You are also, when you are in law, you are also called to be a lawyer. You can't sing, you can't preach, but you are also in law. You are also a banker. And all those things are the call of God. You have got to do, you see, being in politics is the call of God. You are a pharmacist, you are a call of God. Say amen. To become a president in this country, you're also call of God. To be presidential is the call of God. Some people were born to become presidents. Okay, at the age of 19, Helen became deaf and blind as a result of an unknown illness. Perhaps rubella or scarlet fever. As Helen grew from infancy into childhood, she became wild and unruly. Is there any more? Because I want you to know how visually impaired, hearing impaired, how she was handicapped, and the work she did for God. So you know, don't rule yourself out of creation. And don't let somebody's personality and height and stature and beauty deter you from fulfilling your calling. You are not Miss Ghana. When you look at your face, you can never become Miss Ghana. The way God created your face, no special makeup artist can ever make you to become beautiful. But you are also called. With your pink face, you are also called. Yeah. Yes. You are also wonderfully and fearfully made by God, handcrafted by God, with your big forehead, with your thick lips, with your whatever. No, you are not Miss Ghana, you are not Miss Universe, you are not Miss Africa, but you are also being created by God to also do something for God in the kingdom of God. So when you join a department or you come, don't allow anybody to look at your size, your face, your height, and say that, well, we don't know what you are doing here. No, I'm also called by God. You can't tell me what am I doing here. You can't tell me what am I doing here. Don't say that. If you are a very short person and you want to join the worship team and you are the shortest, just be there with your shortness. Hold the microphone. The camera will capture you. One of the most amazing person I have ever met. One of the most amazing person I have ever met is Pastor Stanley's daughter, Selassie. She had 11 surgeries. She was out of school for many years. She's been in the most painful, whatever you can think of. Challenged her legs. She has worn metals in her legs for years. Been in surgery. This girl survived all. Came back, joined the worship team. Sing, goes on missions, carries food items for disabled people. Got married, has a child. She's also called by God. She's a scholar, and she is a very sharp girl, very intelligent. She's also called by God. With all her handicap and all the challenges, she's called by God. She's the shortest person in the worship team. And very smart. Try and engage her and see. You can see that you haven't gone to school at all. Very bright. Received an award in the UK university. She was wearing that. I said, she's gone through. How many surgeries have you been through? 11 surgeries. to correct her whatever. And still, she was caught. She didn't say, well, people have long straight legs. I have problems. No, she did, and she never allows anybody to look down upon her. Never allowed anybody, any situation, anything. Sometimes the father will be asked, oh, Celas, you can't do. He said, this trip, this mission, I am going. He said, no, it's to be very difficult, very tiring, He said, no, I'm going to the missions. She'll come to the missions. She'll see her, sometimes see her carrying rice, carrying things. I said, no. You sit somewhere, we will do it. No, she doesn't matter. She carries the things. She shares food. She shares things. She's called by God. And fulfilling her calling. So those of you who are sitting on the fence, those of you who feel whatever, remember that failure to fulfill your call will be a very great disgrace to you at the Bema judgment seat of Christ. That you remove yourself from the kingdom because of the challenges, physical challenges, and some whatever you had. You removed yourself. And I wanted to join the choir. But when I went there, you know, the way some of the girls were looking at my face, it was as if I was not welcome. So I also left and went and sat down to mind my own business. It's demonic. What that thought to me said is a devilish thought. Some of the girls were looking at you, how? You, because you are quickity, because you don't have a long chin. Because you don't have rosy cheeks. So you left because you were offended. And you messed up your calling. Say amen. So do what God has called you to do, and do not allow any human being to look down upon your physical disabilities and challenges and your height and your whatever. You have been called. And what are you called to do? You are called to do His will, to fulfill a purpose. To fulfill a purpose. To do His will. I'm not, Jesus said, I came from heaven. I love that word. He said, I came from heaven to the earth, not to do any man's will, but to do the will of my Father and to finish His work. And to finish His work. The resident pastor of this ministry should have been some thick, tall person with height and presence. But look at my resident pastor. Get up. Look at my president. Look at his height. Look at his color. But God has also called him. You are taller than him. You are more educated than him. You have a lot of things that qualifies you more to God. But he's also the resident pastor of this great church, of this great ministry. Despite his height and his color, he's also doing the will of God. Say amen. John 4, 31, 32, 33, he says, has anyone brought him meat or something to eat? They say no. Then he said, my meat. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, had any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Many do but don't finish. Many start but don't finish. They quit because of circumstances. They quit because they are offended. They quit because a boyfriend somewhere disappointed you because of that. The way this guy disappointed me in the church, and then he went for my friend, and now they are holding hands, hand in hand. And when I see that, my heart is doing something that was because of that, I want to come to church again. The boy and the girl holding hand in hand should not prevent you from coming to church. Come and do God's will. But go past it. Go past it. Overcome it. And do God's work. Go past challenges. Go past disappointment. Everybody, either you drop somebody or you are dropped. It's all part of the game. Yes, let's all go. Let's all carry on. There's a dropping somewhere. But in the midst of the dropping, you will find your own. You will find your own. We were dropped. Me, I have been dropped. I was dropped. Blah! But I found my own. So drop in here. Overcome it. Go past it. And stop whining. And stop the nyinyi. And stop the complaining. And fulfill the call of God. Fulfill your ministry. Overcome the disappointment, the tears, the whatever. Cry a bit. Blow your nose. Comb your hair. And come back to ministry. Come back to church. And move on. Go past it. If they didn't marry, you, it was not meant to be. If you are not married, it was not meant. If the girl says no, it was not meant to be. He has gone to choose another person. It's okay. Because you two, in the past, you also dropped somebody. So do God's work. And being a pharmacist is God's work. Being a doctor is God's work. Being a politician is God's work. Being a lawyer is God's work. Being a lecturer is God's work. Being a teacher in primary school, Agbosoko, class one, is God's work. You are teaching children, is God's work. Being an architect, being whatever you are doing, a painter, is God's work. An accountant, a secretary, is God's work. And God, listen, God will judge you by the way you did that work. As a pharmacist, as a lawyer, as an architect, as an accountant. Sometimes you don't think that is the work of God. Your accountancy work is the work of God. You're being a seamstress, or you being in politics, is the work of God. It's the work of God. Being a choir, being a counselor, being an intercessor is the work of. Some people have abandoned their intercessory ministry. It is God's work you have abandoned. You have abandoned your intercessory ministry. You have abandoned your counseling ministry. And the last time when I was in the council, I made some transactions, and the way I was thrown down, the way somebody looked down upon me, I decided that I don't want trouble. I came here to just come and worship God, and I want to come quietly, sit at the back quietly and go quiet. I don't want trouble. It is not of God. You must want. I don't want peace. I want problems. Is that not what the guy said? He said, I don't want peace. I want problems. Always. So where there are human beings, there are problems. Your suggestions may be taken, some will not be taken. You can be offended. They can rebuke you. Sometimes when we are sitting at management meeting in the church, some of our workers, they will reprimand you, rebuke you, and command you to sit down. We were in a meeting recently, and one of my staff was hitting his hand on the table. And my deputy said, sit down. Your fathers are here. You cannot be hitting your hand on the table like that. Sit down. Yeah. He said, sit down. When management meeting, and the meeting was hot. And they were accusing him, and he was hurt by the accusation. And he was hitting his hand on the table. Pastor said, sit down. Your pastors are here. You cannot get up and be hitting your table. The guy got offended. And guess what? We will not look at your offense at all. It's the work of God. Go past the offense and do God's work. And somebody will say, the reason why I don't want to join any department because, look, I have been hurt in the past. And so this, I'm protecting myself from being hurt. So I come quietly and I go quiet. That one too is not of God. When you have a gift, you have a calling, but because of offenses, you don't want to fulfill your call. It's not an excuse at all. See, I hear you, Pastor. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians 3, 23, 24. Look at it. And whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. As to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Whatever you are doing in this house, whatever you are doing in the public service, you are serving the Lord Christ. Whatever you do it heartily. Don't do it biara. Don't do it halfway. Even if you are in somebody's company, do it with your heart. Serve the person. Serve the company. Do it as unto the Lord. Because everything you are doing, God is watching. Say amen. As a medical officer, as a doctor, as a nurse, as a radiography, whatever, it's unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builded thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay down, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation gold and silver and precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Every man's work, your work in the church, your work in public office, every man's work, your attitude, your mindset, the heart with which you are doing it, your motive. People are in government wasting resources, corrupting themselves, stealing money. Every man's work. Every man has a work. Every man's work. So see your work in public office as the work of God. In an architectural firm, as the work of God. As a contractor, when you are supposed to use 36 bags of cement for a pillar and you are using 18 bags, knowing that the integrity of that pillar will be compromised in the next 5 years, but you have done a very bad work and you have gotten away with it. It is not before the eyes of the Lord. The pillar must receive 36 bags of cement. You are using 18. And you have cut short, and you are lying to the government or to the nation that you use 36 bags of cement, and you have pocketed the rest. It's a bad work you have done. Knowing that within, that is, you see, do you see that our roads and things? That's why our roads don't last. It's bad. bad road network. People are not truthful. The bitumen and the things they must use, they reduce it. They don't work very well. They don't see it as the work of God because of the bad nature of the road. Somebody wants to overtake somebody. Someone wants to avoid the portal and then collides with another person. And somebody is killed or damaged forever. Because you didn't do the road network very well. You didn't see it as the work of God. That is the work of God. To do the roads. And the integrity of the road was compromised. Because you did a bad job and pocketed a lot of the money. It's the work of God. Because it's not in the church. It is the work of God. Am I in church? I've gone somewhere. Yeah. What if the pharmacist gives you the wrong prescription? What if the doctor didn't diagnose your sickness properly? Oh, no, they gave you wrong injection. People have given wrong injection, wrong prescription. In this country, many people have perished because of bad medical malpractice. Bad medical decisions. People have died. In this country, we don't go into suing people. Otherwise, they would have sued the whole of Kolibu and put it somewhere. Because people have lost their lives because of bad medical decisions, poor services. The sacrificial nature of your work has been left behind, and people are into profiteering and render bad services. And guess what? It kills lives. Souls perish. Our roads, our infrastructure, our whatever, there are people who are not doing a better job. And God will judge all of them. We, the preachers, as we are preaching, we also, you see, every man's work, that word, the work there, is work everywhere. Work in the church, work outside the church, work in government, in politics, everything is the work of God. Every man's work shall be tried by fire, of what sort it is. You are working for somebody. You are in the financial sector. You are corrupting yourself, stealing money from the person's company. Stealing money. Reverend, can you move on to other things? No, I'm not moving on. I'm staying there. And some people don't know why things are not working for them. It's because you sowed a bad seed some years ago in somebody's work. Do it heartily. He said, Colossians 3, 28, he said, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not as unto men. Heartily. Do it with your heart. Even if you are not rewarded by the person for the work, there is a God who seeth in secrets, who shall reward thee openly at the right time. Yeah, at the right time. One of my daughters sent me a message. He said, this was what she said. He said, Reverend, it is true. This is truly our year of increase. I said, really, tell me about it. And she's telling me the breakthroughs, things that are happening to her. Get to very beautiful. Breakthrough here, people are offering a job. And I was telling her that, you know why God is blessing you? It's because of the work, your sacrificial work, that your faithfulness, the work you are doing for mankind, sometimes you go extra mile to do things for the church. You don't bring us a bill. You just go your way, take care of all these people. Those are the things God is leveraging on to bring you the increase. There is a God that seeth in secret and rewards. God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. So whichever sector you are in and whatever work you are doing is unto the Lord. Say it's unto the Lord. Yes. is unto the Lord. Mark chapter 3, verse 35. Mark 3, 35. Mark 3, 35, it says, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother." Whosoever. This is Jesus. They said, your brothers and your sisters are outside waiting for you. I said, who is my brother? Who is my sister? Who is my brother? He said, these ones here who are hearing me, they are my brothers and my sisters. And then he said, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and mother. Hallelujah. And number three. So number one, you must understand the call of God. Number two, you must know the purpose of your calling. The purpose of your calling is to do the will of God. Whether you are in the church or you are in the private sector, you are in government, wherever you are doing is unto the Lord. Don't tell yourself that it's only when you are in the church then you are doing. No, wherever you are, whichever area you have been given to do that affects mankind, do it heartily unto the Lord. And the Bible said, every man's work shall be tried and every man shall be rewarded. Look at what it says here. He said, if any man's work, 1 Corinthians 3:14, 3:14, if any man's work abide which he has builded upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, for he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Say amen. Number three, the suffering in the call. There is suffering in the call. Look at Philippians 1:29. Look at Philippians 1:29. Philippians 1:29. The Bible said, Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So there is suffering in the calling. Say amen. There is suffering in the calling. And this suffering, look at what the definition of the suffering. Look at the definition. To suffer means to have adversities, afflictions, anguish, distress, stress, grief, misery, sorrow, tribulations, and trouble. It's part of the calling. Misery, pain. Are you yourself? You heard Reverend Isu when he came here. The loss of his two daughters. It's the pain. And he's still preaching. I was with my friend. He was when he was burying his firstborn son. He sat at the graveyard for hours. And I was sitting behind him. As they were burying the son. And afterwards, he has to pick his Bible and continue preaching. There are people here who have lost their spouses, but they are still in church. People have lost their mother, they are still in church. People have lost their brother. People have lost jobs, opportunities. Sometimes you are sorrowful. You are so much in pain, you don't want to even come to church again. Sometimes if God doesn't heal your heart, you will not even serve God again. People have disappointed you. Some people have gone through some painful divorce. Married here. But has been left. Where is your husband? Ren. We don't know where he is. He has left us. With your three children, yes. All the three children were born here in this church. The man has taken off, but the woman is still in church, fulfilling the call of God. Say amen. I remember many years ago, I've told you this story before, but hear it again. When my wife got pregnant with our first child, I was so excited. It's my firstborn, whatever. And then 6 months, first, second, third, by the third week, my wife went into labor. Hey, I said, honey, but I thought they say it's 9 months. Yes, it's So why are you in labor? So we took her to the hospital. Before I realized, she had delivered a baby. When I saw the baby, hey, an anointed man of God, preacher, my baby was like a frog, small like this. My baby was weighing 1.6 kilos. And you know the painful part? Chapa, do you know the painful part? The painful part was that when I was walking from the ward where my wife was to the incubator, I was walking past young girls who have delivered twins, triplets. They didn't have wedding, food them. And I, the anointed man of God, ordained with a collar. My baby is 6 months, 3 weeks, 1.6 kilos. And then, you know, because I was a young guy and I've never seen a preterm baby before, when I went, there was an incubator and they have covered it with some blanket. Then they removed it to expose my baby. When I saw my baby, I said, hey. The doctor could see the shock on my face. So he said, oh, Reverend, don't worry. The baby will be fine. I said, how can it be fine? So when I went down, my wife said, hi, is the baby? I said, God will give us another baby. God will give us another baby. Because this one is so bad, very small. When I went home, my mother said, so how is she? I said, she's fine. How is the baby? I said, ma, my wife has delivered something. It's not a baby. It's like an animal. Yeah. Have you seen a 6 month old baby? It's like an animal. Very small, very tiny, with tubes in the nose. I said, oh no, this one cannot be my baby. I'm a prayerful man of God. Anointed, ordained, with clerical. I had a wedding. I did knocking, engagement, and wedding. So I was supposed to have a full-term baby. And that is what God gave me. A tiny 1.6. Children are born 3.5 kilos, 4 kilos, and mine is 1.6. My mother, oh, I love my mother. She did her best. After 4 months, the baby was in the incubator for 3 months or so. Then we brought the baby out, everything. And then the baby became well. Oh, everything was normal and everything. And then a year later, or 2 years later, my wife got pregnant again. I was excited, very happy. My second born. Okwawa, 6 months, 3 weeks. Again. I said, honey, what's wrong with your womb? What's wrong with your womb? Affliction shall not come to us a second time, but it came to us a second time. And this time, it was 1.4 kilos smaller. Tiny. I was very depressed. I was very grieved. I was very sorrowful. And this one, he stayed in the incubator for like 4 months. Came out. It took my son 3 years to walk. It took him 10 years to read. He was always last at the class. Anytime he's in school, his thumb is in his mouth. I want my mommy. So I will call my wife from the bank. Honey, come. The boy is crying. The gap between his ear and his nose didn't form well. So he had a discharge in the ears all the time. And he was in pain all the time. He was permanently in pain. We don't sleep in the house. He was always crying. He won't go to school. He was always last. I said, I didn't cry. Yeah. I have to still preach every Sunday. I have to go to church. I have to do missions. I remember when I brought my second born to the house. That same way we were at the Obuasi Crusade. The team has left. So I went to Kolebu, brought them to the house, and left for Obuasi the same day because I was the preacher. And left for Obuasi missions. You see Obuasi over here? Yeah. And when I was leaving, my wife was crying because she was carrying the baby. And I was leaving them. After they've come from the hospital, I went to the hospital with somebody's car and I brought them home. And the car that was to take to Obuasi was already parked outside. I said, honey, I have to do missions. You know that I'm the preacher. So stay here. This is my mother. Everything you did is here. So I'm going. My wife was crying, carrying our small baby. Suffering. And I went to enjoy because that time Stanley was the missions director. He has already gone ahead and come and said, am I coming? Because I'm the one preaching the night. We drove all the way to Obuasi. When I got to Obuasi, I went to my retreat. I was the evangelist. I was on the platform preaching. When I had brought my preterm, my small baby back to the house. It was nowhere. And hitting the sea, casting out devils and prophesying to people. Testimonies. Anguish, sorrow, pain, stress, affliction. It's all part of the calling. Say amen. Helen, this my boy was the last in his class. So I stopped looking at his report because I know what was in the report. It's last. And whenever I travel abroad, I buy them toys. Police car, whatever car. So this time I bought them a flying aeroplane with a remote. So my son was playing with the aeroplane. Then he dropped the aeroplane and came to me. Daddy, daddy. I said, yeah, I want to be a pilot. I said, really? Go and play with the toy like that. You're far away from being a pilot. Piloting, they want people like this. But you. When he has a party and they put a candle, they say, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Elon, blow your candle. He'll be standing there. Then his friends will blow the candle for him. Because his brain doesn't register information well. So he is slow in processing his information. When you say, Elon, there is a bottle, there's a water bottle in the hall. Elon, go and bring it. Then he will come. I can't find it. I said, but the thing is sitting there. I didn't see it. When they are doing musical chairs, the music will stop. My son will still be dancing. And all the seats are taken. So when he's looking for the seat, all the seats are taken. They say, you are out. You start crying and sack everybody from the house. He couldn't process information because of the way he was born. So I said to myself, just go through the school and know how to write your name and write English. He went to a high school, whatever, and then they were asking everybody, what do you want to do? This one said, I want to be a lawyer. This one said, I want to be a doctor. This one said, I want to be an engineer. Then they came to my son, what do you want to do? He said, I want to be a pilot. The class laughed at him. Then the teachers, three of them, I can remember clearly, they came to my office here to tell me that they want to see me. I said, okay. They said, about your son. I said, yeah, what about my son? Your son, his brain is slow. I said, I know that. Are you coming to remind me that my son is slow? I know my son is slow. He's always last in class. What's your problem? And they say he wants to be a pilot. Yeah, he's daydreaming. So what's your problem? He said, we want to discourage him from becoming a pilot. I said, yeah, there's no need. Just let the boy go through school. There's nothing we can do. Then when they left, then a voice spoke to me. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hey! But with God, nothing shall be impossible. I came home called my son, laid hands on him. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. But with God, nothing shall be. I say, Elon, you shall become a pilot. I started lay hands on him. I've lost the number of times I've laid hands on my son. Then his grades started changing. His brain started working. He started whatever. He applied for a piloting school in Dubai. He passed the exams. They send him there for interview. They ask him 350 questions about himself. He scored 90%. They took him in the piloting school. He came back. When they stayed there, there were 182 students. Only four came out as pilot. My son was one of the four. From a premature child. Oh, are you listening to me? I said, no matter your challenges, you are also called. No matter your challenges, you are also called. This my son went to the UK, finished, went to the US. This coming month, September, October, yeah, he's now will be qualified as a commercial pilot. From zero, from the bottom. Not even knowing how to blow a candle. You know, one day he was talking. I said, oh, this is your friend. I don't see him around again. So, daddy, he's too slow. I said, you are calling somebody too slow? Now his brain is like this. He passed out as a private pilot. When he passed out as a private pilot, I said, well, Lord, you didn't send me the video that you have passed out as a private. So that's not what I want to do. I want to be commercial. I don't want to fly a private jet. I want to commercial. I was surprised. The brain matter. Situations. Everything changed. Now he's for his my son is a preacher. He's preaching. He's preaching. People gather. He hasn't been to Bible school before. He's a preacher. They are inviting him to preach. And he's sharing his testimony to other people, to encourage people. Sharing his testimony. Sharing his testimony. Don't allow anybody to look down upon your calling. And below, there is suffering in the call. All of us have stories. Stanley has a story. I also have my story. Keto has a story. Keto had a beautiful wife. The wife died. Some of you don't know that Keto had a wife before. You don't know. Keto, he had a wife with three children. Married here. Had the first child, second child, the third, and the third child was in the wife's womb. When the wife became sick and delivered the wife and then she died. Delivered the child and then she, the mother, died. Keto was here for about 5 years without a wife. Is it 5 years? Keto was here 5 years without a wife. Sitting there, the same place. Buried his wife. Read his own tribute here. In pain, in tears. Reading the wife's tribute. When the wife was laying here, there is suffering, there is adversities, there is pain in fulfilling the call of God. So what are you going through? What challenges are facing you for which you want to stop serving God? We are not only called to believe in him, we are also called to suffer for his sake. All of us who are preaching, we have stories to tell. All of us have stories to tell. Mike has his own story to tell. The wife has his own story to tell. Everybody has a story. So don't allow this, whatever, I'm stressed, and then quit. No, don't quit. We've all been stressed. We're all going through challenges. Yeah. Stanley's wife was with the daughter for many years in London, and Stanley was here alone, preaching, singing, ministering. And they said, worshiping. He said, I have to go and see my daughter and my wife and come. I said, go, take all the time you want. He said, no, I will just spend 2 weeks and come back. He said, no, take all the time and be with them. He will go. 2 weeks after, he's back with the microphone, worshiping, leading. And the wife and the daughter is in hospital, one of the top-notch hospitals. She's going through, then she will come and show me pictures of the daughter. And still worshiping, still serving God. So what you are going through, we have been there before. The pain, the affliction, the challenges, the trials. But keep serving God. It's all part of the package. Have you been divorced? Marry again. Have you lost your husband? Don't say, I don't know, I love my husband so much. Now that he's dead, I won't marry again. Stop that nonsense and marry again. Marry again. Find love again. I met one of my daughters who lost the husband who was ordained. We ordained the wife here. She's the lady. But lost the husband 5 years ago. And she was telling me that, Reverend, I don't know. After the ordination, I come here. Find love again. Marry again. Have another baby. Move on. Your husband is in heaven watching you. Move on. Say amen. The Bible said, look at it. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. I love that scripture. Helen, read the scripture. Put it on the screen. I want you to read it. Get up. Read it. Give her a microphone. Read it. The Spirit itself. Read it. The Spirit itself.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit.
That we are all children of God. Next verse.
If children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Mm-hmm. If so, be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
If so, we suffer with him, we may be also what? Glorified together. Look at the next verse.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
The glory of God shall be revealed in you. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. The glory of God shall be revealed in your suffering. Say amen. So the sufferings we are all going through as Christians, it's part of the package. Don't look as if something strange. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Let me read it to you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. By rejoicing as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Say amen. Look at the next verse. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of the glory and of God rested upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. Look at the next verse. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. But yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. When you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. Me, I'm not ashamed to tell you how my first two children were in the incubator. But today, all these two who were born 6 months are standing. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Glorify God in your suffering, because his glory shall be revealed in you. It's just a matter of time. You will smile again. You will laugh again. You have suffered some losses. You have suffered in the business. You have suffered in other things. Glorify the Lord in it, because you shall recover again. God bless you. I love you.